If you're speaking to the sports fan, listen to our show. Those are the people that are going to the games that do care.
It's embarrassing.
Who would you replace him with?
That's over my pay grade.
Well, okay. So is firing him, but you didn't have any hesitation with that.
Steve carries himself with a lot of dignity, truth. Thank you for everything.
He doesn't take days off. He's one of those guys that he's out there every game.
There's a new type of broom out. It's sweeping the nation.
Are you Googling this?
Protect our radio talent.
You two are ridiculous.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Paulie Sibilia, I'm Stephen Fonte as we welcome you into a Friday edition of Orange Nation leading into Father's Day weekend. We got a couple of guests lined up for you. Our good friend Brian Higgins will join us at 12:15 as we wrap up all the recent lacrosse news. Dave Petromala introduced yesterday, formally to the media. We'll get to that in a moment. But Brian Higgins coming up at 12:15. Eric Devendorf will join us at the top of hour number two, right at 1 o'clock. We'll talk some Boeheim's Army with Devo, as most of the roster has been finalized and is out. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at any time, 315-437-7644. Before we get into lacrosse, before we get into Dave Petromala, I did not hear the show yesterday. Had a work-related conflict with Channel 9, was off the show yesterday, but I did hear your final thought, and that was the, I saw it on social media. That was the first that I saw Francisco Molinari was actually knocking on the door of the lead. I had yet to check the leaderboard, and I would like to say that I was shocked and surprised and floored. But given this run that you're on, I can't say as though I am stunned that Francisco Molinari is a shot back at the U.S. Open.
Tied for third right now, and there's big money in Eduardo Molinari also finishing in the top 10, and he is 11th right now. So we all of our picks look good, though. I mean, Louis Oosthuizen's one of our picks.
Yep, tied for the lead.
We did decide that we can't do the split of the $10 any.
You know, oh, really?
We're not going to win enough money.
Oh, right.
And I'm not going to win. If any of our picks win, I'm not going to win any money anyways because I went degenerate gambler at the casino. And
see, that's what happens. You're sucked in now.
But I'll take the $23. And the Jordan.
Yeah, the top 10 is littered with guys that we picked among the six of us, right?
Yeah.
Oosthuizen tied for the lead. You've got Molinari, who that's a bet that's all yourself, but he's a shot back. We've got money on Schauffele, right? Those are my two picks, Schauffele and Oosthuizen. Kepka minus two, as is Schauffele. And you've got Eduardo Molinari on the outside of the top 10 looking in at tied for 11th. But, yeah, good start for us.
Yeah, bad start to the day for me, Steve.
Why is that?
Woke up with a little tooth pain.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it looks like I'm going to need a root canal. But I'm here. I'm a man.
Fighting through it?
Yeah.
This just came on?
Yeah, I woke up this morning horrible, like throbbing tooth pain at like 5 a.m.
That's not good.
Yeah, so I'll get through it, though.
I saw you popping something before we hit the air.
Yeah, I was going to wait until I got my prescription filled, but no, I took them.
Yeah.
That's a performance enhancer I just took, by the way.
What was it, Tylenol?
Spider-Tack pills. People hoping my mouth sticks shut so they don't have to hear me.
All right, we got a lot to get to on the show today, so let's get to it. And we'll follow this U.S. Open golf tournament as the show moves along, and certainly as the weekend moves along, and we'll recap it on Monday. But big news yesterday: Dave Petromala officially introduced to the local media. We heard this really going back to a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago now. That Sunday night, 12 days ago. When news broke from Inside Lacrosse that John Desko was retiring, Gary Gate was taking over, and then immediately the rumors started that Dave Petromala was, you know, the guy that Gary Gate was eyeing as his defensive coordinator, and sure enough, it happened. And yesterday we heard from Dave Petromala, and let's start with the obvious question, which is, why come to Syracuse to be the DC?
The simple fact was I wanted to be at a place where, number one, it was a great academic institution, and number two, it was a place that was passionate and cared about lacrosse, and you could compete for a national championship. Obviously, you know, where I went to college and now coming to Syracuse, and having been at Loyola College at the time, now Loyola University, You know, they're all places that are passionate about lacrosse. Cornell University cares about lacrosse. So the goal was to always be somewhere where, you know, it was a great opportunity from an academic standpoint. And it was a place where the institution itself, part of the fabric of the institution, was that lacrosse was important, not only to the lacrosse community, not only to the alums, but that actually the administration and the university in Syracuse clearly checks all those boxes. I mean, I've got a long history with Syracuse University. I know the rich tradition that's there, you know, to be a part of a program where the Simmons family, the Desco family, the Gate family, you know, which are all, you know, they're all royalty in our sport, have been a part of. It just checks all the boxes and makes complete sense for me to be in a place like that.
Yeah, the tradition here, Paulie, is rivaled probably by really only one other program, and that's Johns Hopkins, where he went to school and then, you know, coached for two decades. And this is almost like a two for one, right, for Syracuse, is that you get essentially you're getting two head coaches to help lead this program. Gary Gate, you know, leading the way, obviously, but now you've got another head coach essentially coaching the defense, and you've got two absolute superstars in the game. Gary Gate, you know, considered by many to be the best lacrosse player to ever live. Dave Petromella, considered by many to be the best defensive lacrosse player to ever live, and you've got them on the same staff. This seems like a home run for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, you see it a lot in basketball, too, where a guy will hire a former head coach, you know, if it's their first gig. He's done the women's side, but he's never done the men's side, so it makes a lot of sense. It's a good hire.
And so you got to figure this is going to play well with recruits. And that's something that came up yesterday during the press conference about, you know, how this staff is looking forward to going about recruiting top players.
Oh, there it is.
To compete in the ACC, and if you're competing in the ACC, you're competing on a national level and you're competing at a championship level. That's plain and simple. So to be able to compete, you know, both in conference and on a national level, you need to have the best players. You look at the Final Four, and you look at you know, how the field and all those teams were littered with talent. You know, if we want to be competitive and win, you know, those kinds of games, we're going to have to get out there and recruit the best players. And why wouldn't we? You know, Syracuse University is a great institution. You know, it offers a young man tremendous opportunities, both as a student and as an athlete. And it provides them with an environment to play lacrosse at a place that, you know, is extraordinarily passionate about it, not just from an institutional perspective, but from a community and fan perspective and on a national level. So, you know, I would hope that when we pick up the phone and call, the phone gets answered and answered with some excitement.
Along those lines, you know, I teach a class up at Syracuse University, and I'm helping out this summer with a newscast class. And one of my students caught up with Drake Porter to ask him about the hire and what this means for Syracuse lacrosse, and Drake Porter being the goalie at Syracuse, of course. And his answer was essentially, if those two call me, like Gary Gate and Dave Petromella, how do you say no? As a high school senior or high school junior, you know, and you're one of the top recruits across the country, and those two guys want you, how do you say no to that? So I can only imagine how much this is going to help recruiting moving forward.
Yeah, and they weren't exactly struggling
right
without them. So.
And Pat March, by the way, has done a great job with recruiting. Yes, so yes. Now you add those two with what, you know, the efforts that Pat March has made and the inroads he's made over the course of the last couple of years. And, you know, recruiting should certainly pick up. And to your point, Paulie, it was in good shape to begin with, and now you're talking about a chance for it to be off the charts. Speaking of recruiting, Dave Petromella, his two sons, both terrific lacrosse players, Dom and Nick. And so there's a lot of speculation there among the top recruits in the country for the class of 2022. Of course, Joey Spallina, the number one recruit in the country, already coming to Syracuse. He's got a relationship with the Petromella brothers. They have committed to North Carolina, but there's speculation about whether or not they may decommit and come to Syracuse to follow their father. Here's Dave Petromella on that.
You know, I've been asked that question a lot, and I've learned very quickly that there is no right answer. If I say one thing, it's read, and then people read into it one way. And if I say another thing, they read into it another way. So what I would say is I would respectfully say, you know, they're fortunate to love lacrosse and be a part of a sport that they love. They're fortunate to be able to be recruited at a high level. And, you know, I would leave it at that. You know, there are 17-year-old kids right now that are enjoying their summer, and the last thing that dad needs to do is put any additional pressure on them.
I thought he handled that question very well, because that's a tough one for dad. That's a tough one for the two kids. We'll have to see how it all plays out. You know, Syracuse obviously would love to have both of them, but you know, they're trying to pave their own way. They may stay committed to Carolina. They may come here, but that's up to them, and you don't need dad putting any pressure
on
them.
They also don't need to make a decision right now either, because right. Dad could get a call if
that's
things go
true.
Well
that's
this
true.
Year.
So that's true.
You got a year. Let's get through a year.
That's a good point. You know, get your feet wet, and yeah. You know, maybe they stay committed for the time being. They see how things work out at Syracuse, and to your point, you know, maybe dad's not staying long. You know, Rick Beardsley was the first to tell us that, you know, his understanding was that Dave Petromalo was in talks with Gettysburg about being the head coach down there, you know, going to a D3 school after taking a year off from coaching. And this opportunity popped up, and he felt like it was the right fit, right program, right time. And so he jumped at it. To your point, though, you know, this it doesn't necessarily mean this is a long-term arrangement. We'll have to see how it plays out. Let's get to one last one here. This was on his initial conversation with Gary Gayton. Again, it sounded like Petromalo was weighing his options, assessing his options, certainly had some options, but this is the one he decided to go with.
It was exciting to say the least. You know, I went to bed, and I'm a guy that doesn't sleep throughout the night. I'm up and down, and I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep. So what's the first thing you do? You hop on your phone, you check your emails, and there was a text message from Gary. It must have come in at about 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, the night before. And, you know, foolish of me, I returned the text. That was probably 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, not thinking twice that he's probably sound asleep. But returned the text and said, you know, I would love to talk to you. We got on the phone the next day, and, you know, his first question was, you know, are you interested in getting back into coaching? I hear you are. And I said, Gary, you know, there's nothing else I want to do. It's exactly what I want to do. And while I've been blessed to work with Legendary Sports Group and Brendan Kelly and Dave Cottle, you know, my belief is I'm meant to be, and I want to be on a sideline with a whistle around my neck at the highest level of college lacrosse. So I think once we established that, it was, you know, okay, I'd love for you to come up. I'd love to sit down and talk with you and just get to know each other in a different way. And just talk a little bit and make sure it's the right fit. So, you know, a few days later, I drove up, and, you know, I got there, and I had a suit on, and, you know, he quickly said, really, did you really need to wear a suit? And I quickly quit back, says the guy that wears a suit on the sideline. And we actually sat in his home at his dining room table for about 2 hours and just talked. You know, the conversations came very easy. Obviously, we know each other and have been friendly. You know, we talked a little bit philosophically. He talked a little bit about, you know, what he wants to do, some things he wants to change, and you know, where I might fit. I asked him, you know, very bluntly, you know, what do you want in a defense? What are you looking for? You know, how do you want to play? And, you know, I have to tell you, it was great to sit down and talk lacrosse for that extended period of time. And, you know, when I left, he said, you know, I think it's a great fit. And I said, so do I. So the next step was just to try and make it work. And we talked a number of times on my ride home, and I think that night he got back to me, and we both agreed it was a great fit and that we were going to do it.
Seemed like a no-brainer, and it was. And so Gary Gade hires Dave Petromalo to address the defense, a defense, by the way, Paulie, that needs to be addressed. That defense gave up on average about 14 goals per game last season, and on 5 occasions gave up 18 or more. And so they, you know, Gary Gade said, what do we need to do to fix this? He went out and he got Dave Petromala. And,
love at first sight, it sounded like.
Yeah, and some guys are just coaches. Like, you know, he looks like a coach. He sounds like a, I mean, he should be coaching.
He's got a long sound bite. I like it.
He does. He
kills
does
whole segments of his show. I don't have to talk.
This is important information.
Breaking sports news.
You hear it first.
Ladies and gentlemen, another one of our bets in the U.S. Open has cracked the top six. Rory McIlroy, two shots off the lead.
How about that? We've got a lot of options.
I feel like I should just sit here all weekend and do this during every show.
We got a lot of
Instead
options.
Instead of doing the Westwood One updates, it's just me
just
telling who we bet on.
Just rooting for his guys. All right. And what were the odds on Rory?
I don't remember. I have a stack of tickets from us that's...
Yeah.
I walked into the casino with a piece of paper folded in my pocket, and I pulled it out, and I sat at the machine. I looked like a 90-year-old man holding it up because it's dark in there, and I couldn't read. But I made all the right bets. So
excellent. But we should root for like somebody like Rory.
Louis,
we should
Louis
root for.
Should, Louis, I think we win $980.
Okay.
Split six ways. Well, next time it's just the three of us. Right. I'm throwing everybody out of the group.
I'm good with that. I'm good
out of the pool.
All right. Unless one of their picks wins, in which case we'll keep them around.
I'll still throw them out.
Like if Sal's guy wins, we'll keep Sal around.
He picked Koepka, and then Sal was also really bitter about the fact that we actually bet $20. Like he's like, I could have gone to Chipotle twice.
Sounds like Sal. All right, we're gonna take a timeout. We've got Brian Higgins on the other side. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
I stink. Go ahead, Steve. I'll play the theme song here.
The theme song. Steve and Paulie back with you. We've got this or that with Jordan now. Do we have an open to this?
No.
No.
I stink at my job.
We have a song. This or that. This
or that.
There we go.
This or that. This or that. Oh, no. Right. I wanted the whole
was
one
there more?
At the beginning.
Is there more?
No.
I thought the plan was you're going to play that
I
in between
screwed
each
up.
It's still in there. It's still in there.
I'm not in the mood for you today.
He's got a toothache. Leave
I got
him
alone. A toothache. I got a pain in my ass named Pat in the Twitch chat. If you'd like to annoy me in the Twitch chat, Q Sports Talk at Twitch.
That's a tease. That's a sell.
Yeah, join in. Just poke the bear.
I just learned during the break that you called me out yesterday, Jordan, so I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Called me soft.
That's not
Got my
I
partner
said.
Over here with a toothache complaining, but I get called out
I'm here.
For biting my tongue.
I'm here.
Which does affect my job. Not sure the toothache affects his job, but
I think I should have bit my tongue yesterday.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. All right. Great start to this segment. All right, what do you have for us?
We're playing this or that. It's the choose. Oh, let's go. Okay. It's the choose your own adventure book of segments. I'm going to let you guys decide what we talk about. This or that. In last night's Bucks series tying victory over the Nets, do we want to focus on the Nets only managing to put up 89 points or Chris Middleton exploding for a 38-point double-double? Which are you guys focused on? This or that?
I think last night's probably more about the Bucks than it was about the Nets. And, you know, we discussed this on the show the other day. I know I was off the show yesterday, but the day before that, what was that, Wednesday, we talked about whether or not the Nets were going to put their best foot forward to try and close out the series or kind of save everything in the tank for Game 7. I think last time was more about the Bucks and, you know, Middleton showing up. And Giannis had a great game. And, you know, they've pushed it the distance. And now, you know, they roll the dice and we'll see what happens in Game 7.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see how this goes down on the injury front.
Yeah.
Whoever wins this series is going to win the East. So, at least I think, you know. So, I'm more interested in Game 7 than I am what happened last night at all.
So, do you think...
this, that, or the other, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So, do you think, just to clarify, Paulie, do you think if Kyrie is out... and Harden is either out
Harden's
or
like a shell of himself.
Shell of himself.
They don't win.
But let's say they advance. Let's say Durant puts them on their back again, and they win game seven because of Durant.
Oh, now you got me.
Well, you just said the winner of the series is winning the next series. I don't know as if you can say that because of the Nets. You know, the Nets injury.
What if the Atlanta Hawks make the finals because of that?
What if?
What if? Good value. Somebody's hoping for that to happen around the country.
Everything's betting with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've sucked me in. You've sucked me in over the course of the last month. No, I don't know as if you could say the winner of this series wins the East because of the injuries. And, again, no Kyrie. And if Harden is what Harden looks like at the moment, you know, can KD win four games? I don't want to say by himself, but he's going to have to put the team on his back. And he can do it. You know, will he be able to do it against, you know, another really good team in the Eastern Conference Finals? That remains to be seen. So I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion, I guess.
Yeah,
is what
you're
I'm
right.
Saying.
You're right. If they're healthy, though, if Harden's healthy, they're going to win.
Well, yeah. But that's a big if.
Yeah.
It's a big if.
So we got talking Sixers Hawks. So how about we go down this to.
Is that annoying yet?
I love it. This or that. Which game tonight would you like to predict the winner of? Do we want to predict Sixers, Hawks, or Clippers, Jazz?
I don't want to pick either one of them. I wouldn't touch either one of them with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I mean,
I do Sixers, Hawks. I have more confidence that the Sixers are going to play like a wounded animal and win this game. They're the better team.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, especially the way that the last one slipped away, and the fact that they squandered a 25-point lead and had it stolen from them there at the very end.
As long as they take Ben Simmons out for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, right. They are the better team, and they actually, you know, they're playing some desperate basketball right now. They got their backs against the wall. They have to fight back after that embarrassing loss. So, yeah, of the two, I would feel more confident about taking the Sixers. I would agree with Paulie. Doesn't happen all the time, but I agree with Paulie.
Now I'm waiting for it.
You know what? This reminds me of, remember when we had the yodeler from
yes.
The Price is Right? And after like we played it like twice, we were like, okay, I'm over it now.
We just got to work on our timing.
I was kind of, the yodeler, I loved hearing it because it brought me back to my childhood. But after you played it like twice, I was like, okay, we're done with the yodeler.
Maybe this will be the last time we do this or that. That being said, big NBA trade today. Kemba Walker going over to the Thunder. What do we want to focus on? This or that? Is it the Celtics getting nothing back for Kemba Walker? Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second rounder. Or do we want to focus on the fact that Sam Presti and Oklahoma City have another first round pick that's 18 in the next 7 years?
They need a star still, and I was just listening to the show prior to us, and
they be in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay. Chosen that.
They're not going to get one from free agency, that's for sure. And you're running the risk if you have to draft one. I think they're going to use one of these. They got to trade one of these 18 picks for a star, right?
Or they're just waiting until a lot of the league's talent is out. Maybe they're waiting until the end of LeBron's career to try to win titles.
Well, LeBron, it's not LeBron now. You got KD, you got...
I mean, there are so many teams in the West right now.
Yeah. You got to trade and get somebody.
I guess to answer your question, Jordan, the part of this trade that stood out to me when I saw it was, man, the Celtics got nothing.
Fleeced.
They got nothing. So, I understand there's, you know, a couple aspects to this, and that is interesting.
Who made the trade for the Celtics?
Brad Stevens.
So it was Stevens' first trade? He's good job, boy.
Man. I mean, unless I'm missing something, like, I don't know. They got nothing in return. So that was what stood out to me.
I mean, Kemba must have been really angry. We knew he was unhappy due to previous trade rumors, but it must have been a situation where he was like, I'm leaving, and I'm leaving now. Whether you like it or not.
I mean, I've been griping that Dame Lillard's in Portland, and that sucks for him, but they could get him with a 18 first round, you know, and still have a lot of draft picks
with
left.
With 18 first round picks.
You know, and still have a lot of first round picks left. You know what I'm saying?
It's a blockbuster trade. Portland takes 18
first round. I wasn't saying he's all 18 of them.
That was the way you worded it. So they could get him with 18 first
round. That'd be a hell of a trade there.
Yeah, it would be.
I'd take that in a second.
You got one more or no? No? Yes? Can you find the yodeler for the end of this segment?
Last one, and we're going to end it on a this day in NBA history. But
okay.
You guys are going to choose what we remember. This or that, Ray Allen's NBA Finals saving shot in 2013, or Pat Ewing getting drafted, and of course, then we can get into the frozen envelope controversy. Both those happened on this day.
Is that right? The Ray Allen shot, I will never forget.
James catches, puts up a three. Long go. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
They literally had the trophy out. Series was
over. It was over.
Is there a legitimate claim to that being the greatest shot in NBA history?
Oh, I don't know. That's
I'm not saying
that's a bold statement.
But is there a claim at least to be made? And if not, give me your counters.
Jordan over Russell?
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Jordan over Elo?
It's unfair that these are all Michael Jordan.
I mean, Russell would, I think, supersede that because of at the point of the playoffs that it was. But, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's an iconic shot.
Elo is better because of the fist pump.
Well, yeah.
Kawhi's 10 bounces on the rim 2 years ago.
That was kind of like anticlimactic, you know, watching the ball bounce around.
Why do we have to choose on these? These were both great.
I think he's in shock.
We know differently. And here's David Stern with the announcement.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
So, I mean, if we're going to bring up Pat Ewing getting drafted, I have to ask you guys, do you buy into the frozen envelope controversy that the New York Knicks got?
I do not.
That pick
I do not, but I know somebody who does, and he hosted the show yesterday with Pauly Sebelia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where's Sal when we need him? I
know.
Love conspiracies.
Well, you're going to have Sal on the show quite a bit because, as I've told you both, I'm going to take some time off over the summer here and there. So next time Sal's on, ask him about that. But he's a big conspiracy guy.
Let's do it.
How about that? Two all-time NBA greats and two all-time SU enemies, Ray Allen and Patrick Ewing.
See, you're right, but I
loved Ray Allen in the NBA. Like I love.
Oh, I love Ray Allen too. I don't look at Ray Allen as a nemesis to Syracuse basketball. Well, I mean, you're not wrong. I definitely look at Patrick Ewing as a nemesis.
There was a point I think Connecticut usurped.
Yes. No, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Our biggest rival.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Ray Allen's such a likable, nice guy.
Yeah.
Not that Patrick Ewing's not, but when Patrick Ewing played at Georgetown, the feeling among Syracuse fans was not a nice guy, enemy, you know. But I think Ray Allen's always just kind of he's kind of a quiet guy. He was a quiet kid when he was in college, quiet guy in the NBA.
What, I think the only enemy he has is Kevin Garnett? I think they're beefing still from their Celtics days.
Could be.
This is important information.
Breaking sports news.
You hear it first.
Bad news on the golf front for us. Rory McIlroy is pooped to the bed, as the kids would say, and he's fallen down to plus one out of, he's in 21st place.
Well, that didn't take long.
No. I really need that $3. We're going to need Rory to pick it up.
We're rooting for Louis.
Yeah, Louis's
our guy.
Louis, and you know who I was actually hoping would win was Sergio Garcia, because you mentioned him. But he's
no
not
love
doing
for
so
Scotty Scheduler. Come
he's
on.
In there, isn't he?
No, he is, but you got to want Scottie Scheffler to win with that value.
All right, let's take a time out here. We've still got one more segment, then we've got to get to Eric Devendorf. We'll talk golf quickly on the other side of the break. We'll wrap up hour number one next.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
There's no way I will ever just stick to sports.
Our take on the day's top stories. It's Today's Business on Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauly back here on a Friday edition of Orange Nation, a stick to sports edition of Today's Business, as we welcome our producer Jordan back in with us.
And he's dressed like a mope. Like, I just noticed this because somebody in the Twitch chat said
backwards hat?
Backwards. He's dressed like a carny.
Colin Cowherd would be losing his mind right now.
I'm backwards hat.
You're at work.
You're backwards hat guy.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Don't dress for the job you have. Dress for the job you want.
Says Paulie, who's got a hat on and just happens to be facing forward.
I have a button-up shirt like a man.
At least mine's a Syracuse hat.
You do look like you just rolled out of bed.
Well, I clearly didn't. You know what time I get here in the morning, and you know what time it is. Today's business, Stick to Sports, where we do no such thing. Yesterday, the Madden 22 cover stars were announced. They had been previously advertised in a commercial featuring two goats. Those two goats appear to be Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and I have a problem with that because Patrick Mahomes is too young in his career to be calling him a goat, advertising him as a goat, and you guys have to agree with me.
He's the GOAT, the greatest of this time.
Interesting.
But he's not the GOAT yet.
He's definitely not the GOAT.
I did that off the top of my head.
He might be a baby goat.
I should probably take the rest of the day off.
Don't they call it a kid? Isn't a baby goat a kid? He's the kid.
I bet it literally was a kid in the commercial, too, and it just went over my head like all things do. But regardless.
Yeah, he's not a greatest of all times yet. He could get there.
Yeah, he's
too
young.
The goat and the GOAT.
The goat and the GOAT. That's what Paulie. I'm going with the goat and the kid.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys agreeing with me. That was a quick one. Let's go to Phil Mickelson, our favorite golfer, except for right now, because he wouldn't win us anything. But
I'm so done with him.
And he's done with spectators flashing their phone cameras during his backswing. He's irritated about it. He thinks it's what's causing him to play poorly. And I want to know, is that just sour grapes, or does Phil have a point? Quit the flash photography.
They shouldn't allow that in. You're not allowed to do that anywhere that people are performing.
I think, wasn't it more so, it wasn't the flash,
it was the
noise, right? It was the click.
Shut that off.
Right.
I just like the phrase, no flash photography. But.
And he said that afterwards. He was like, I don't mind the pictures, just go into silence so I don't hear the click. And, you know, I know some people will laugh at golfers. Well, you know, they're not, you know, think about. No, you're looking at me like you're one of those guys that laughs at golfers. It is very much, it's a mental game. There's a lot of concentration that is involved. And then you say, well, what about a guy shooting a free throw and you can do whatever you want? It's just in the game of golf, for him to have to step off a shot and then stand back over, step off a shot, stand back over, I'm sure that affected him. Now, he played yesterday like I thought he was going to play a month ago when I told you, Paulie, that you might as well light your $20 on fire because there's no way he was going to win.
Because people didn't have cell phones there.
I am sympathetic to this. I can tell by the way that you're smiling, Jordan, that you are not sympathetic to this.
And shut off the sound on your phone. You shouldn't have it on.
I don't think he was suggesting that's why he shot a 75. I think he was irritated about it. I don't blame him for being irritated. It's a professional golf tournament. It's the U.S. Open. By now, you should know how to act. Just flip it to silent. Take a picture. That's fine. But, I mean, it happened several times to him. And, I would be irritated as well. And he was probably a little salty because he shot a 75. We've all had those days. I mean, I haven't shot a 75. You know my point.
I picture the average golf fan isn't that adept with cell phones either, because they're probably my age and older.
See, that didn't affect me at all that you just took my picture, Jordan.
Because the sound was off.
It was. Didn't affect me at all. I didn't have to step away from the microphone. I didn't have to gather my thoughts.
Well, that's because you're Stephen Fonny and he's Phil Mickelson.
So. No, I get it, though. I get why he's irritated. I don't blame him for being irritated.
Like, and... Just like, what's his face, that got engulfed in the crowd at the PGA at every rate angry at the fans.
Sure.
Shut up and behave yourself. That's what golf fans do.
Okay.
You can have some fun, but just put your phone on silent.
Oh, so you can't yell
And don't
potatoes.
Swallow up Brooks Koepka as he's walking to the 18th green. What's that?
So you can't yell
Don't yell
potatoes.
Get in the hole either. I hate that guy. As soon as they tee off, like, it's a par 5 and the guy will have it. Like, why? Shut up, you dope.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, too.
Getting the hole guy should be banned from all tournaments.
That's a great take, actually.
Thank you.
Let's really stick to sports now. New York State Fair has added two absolute thrillers to the lineup.
Michael Jackson?
No.
Not that thriller?
No. I'm sorry for the false advertising. Motown legends The Spinners, and also Grammy-winning polka act Jimmy Sturr and his orchestra. I want to know, this isn't this or that, but I want you to pick one, Motown or polka. Which one is
the
more
Spinners.
Of your vibe?
So I know you're asking this question to be funny. I love Motown. I actually grew up on Motown because my dad was a big Motown fan.
I thought you were going to say I love polka, and I would have had to leave the studio.
No, I mean, my dad was big into Motown, and so as a result, you know, he'd play it around the house, or if we were washing the car, or whatever the case may be. I like Motown. Love Temptations, Four Tops. I don't know the Spinners all that well.
How could you not love Rubber Band Man?
For the record, I wouldn't make fun of Motown. That's the correct answer.
The Spinners are great, and that's not just because we play them on Sunny 102.
So, yeah, that was an easy one. And I know you said it to be funny, but... Don't disrespect Motown
no,
like that.
No, I was disrespecting Coco.
Okay, fair enough.
Weird Al Yankovic, take your accordion elsewhere. I played around like
I was free. I didn't know this was the Spinners.
You will know every Spinner song that is out. I
walk around. You have never operated the board this fast since we started. Don't
see at all. It's good stuff.
Yeah, dude, the Spinners are no joke. I'm there. What is it? That's a noon concert too, so I won't miss sleep.
Well, we might be on the air at that time.
I'm calling in sick. I got a toothache that day.
What day is it? Paulie and I are going to do the show from
one of them is August 23rd and one is August 24th. I don't want to get them mixed up.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to accidentally show up to the polka concert.
Oh, that's the Spinners, Indiana Warwick, by the way.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
I want to hear. I want to hear more. I guess we're gonna have to wait a couple of months.
It is really good. I can't lie.
Rubber Band Man is enough to be there.
Are you done?
I've got one last one. Willing to.
Okay.
This is where we really.
By the way, he wasn't here. Belle Biv DeVoe.
I saw that. I'm in on that.
I think that's worth us playing hooky.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a night concert, right? Definitely a night concert.
Yeah.
You want to go to Belle Biv DeVoe?
We'll meet you after the 6 o'clock news that night. We can take in some BBD.
Got it. How unfortunate would it be for people to run into Steve and Paulie just standing there watching a concert? We would be the least fun guys to go to a concert. There's too many people near me, and Steve would just be standing there.
There's probably some truth to that.
Last, real quick, NPR article I was reading this morning, and I was only reading it to find stuff like this. I am not cultured, but I found out that Gen Z accounts for over 40% of global secondhand clothing consumption.
What is Gen Z?
It's me.
What is it? Besides you,
I'm like a little older than Gen Z. It's not millennial. It's not 2000.
Below millennial?
Before that.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, I'm going to give the official age range. Anyone born between 1997 and 2015. So the age range is from 6 to 24. How old are you?
I'm 24.
You're 24.
I'm almost a millennial.
I won't buy secondhand clothes because I'm a germaphobe, but I don't have any issue
with it. Yeah, I don't have any issue with it either.
I shop, like I go to those stores every weekend in case there's something cool, like couple weeks ago, I bought all the old Carol's. Sound like I'm 90. The Carol's glasses with the Bugs Bunny cartoons on them. I had them as a kid, and I bought them.
Who's Carol?
They're a restaurant company from the 70s.
Restaurant company?
Yeah. Like they had franchises.
Nice.
And I'm talking a completely different. This is so funny. Like you had no. Yesterday I talked about taking. Did you take typing class where there were typewriters or computers?
Paulie, not this again.
Computers.
See, mine had paper and typewriters.
You had typewriters, really?
Yeah. Now I'm talking about Carol's Looney Tune cups, and Jordan looks at me like I got four heads. Like that. If you bought like one of their meals, you got a glass with your favorite Looney Tunes. Guy
even
drunk.
Looney Tunes, like even that's kind of dated. Even that one, a little bit.
They are. They're definitely Bugs Bunny isn't relevant anymore. Like the Road Runner, Yosemite Sam. I got them all. I bought them all. $6 each.
Elmer Fudd?
Elmer Fudd. Carol's was absorbed by Burger King, according to the Twitch chat. I guess the really expensive one is Cool Cat, and I got that one.
Who?
I didn't even know who he was either, but I bought it.
So what do you do with these? You're just going to hold on to them?
Same thing.
Yeah, I just put them in my office. I put them on my office on my gotcha. Like a okay. curio cabinet.
What does he do with his Millennium Falcon toy? You think Paulie's at home like, look out, Indy. Pew, pew, pew.
I just put them on display. And nobody, they're not impressing anybody. Like, nobody's going to walk in my house and go, oh, look at your toy collection. That's cool. It's for me.
I'm just the most mismatched collection ever. Padres memorabilia, Star Wars ships, and Looney Tunes.
That's why he can find it. Because
but no, like I just decided
like there's a hot market for
it. I just decided I want all the toys I had as a kid in my office. Like I just bought a talking ViewMaster for $75. It's a ViewMaster that talks.
What's a ViewMaster, Paulie?
You don't know what a ViewMaster is?
No.
It's a movie you put up your eyes and you click it and the thing swips around and you had to read the little card. But I was so spoiled, I had one that read the card for me as I was watching it. Oh my God. He didn't know what a ViewMaster is. This is getting...
Hang on. I get the cups or the glasses and I get a little bit, I guess I get the Star Wars figurines. Are you ever going to use that?
No, it's going to go on my toy display.
Okay. But at least the other things are decorative. That's not really decorative.
No, I just want all my toys back.
Okay.
I want all my... Wait till I get Castle Grayskull. That'll be the biggest loser on Earth.
Then?
Yes, when I've got a giant toy castle in my office.
But only then. Like, yeah. We got to build up to that. Okay.
Everybody in the chat, I feel like our Twitch chat is old because everybody's just dying that you didn't know what a ViewMaster was.
When you explained what it was, I understand.
Do they still sell them? Like, I don't get why you would because you have movies on your phone now, you spoiled little brat.
What about a kaleidoscope? You're going to get a sweet kaleidoscope collection?
I didn't know.
What about the Etch-a-Sketch?
No, maybe I'll get a... I do have a Snoopy snow cone maker.
Oh, my God.
I do have one, and it sits in my office, getting all my toys back.
That reminds me, can I eat that Fudgy the Whale we've got in the fridge?
Yeah, help yourself. It was my birthday cake. Help yourself.
I'm eating the whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Jordan.
No problem.
That one completely off the rails.
It really did.
But I love it. I love how old I am now.
I was going to say, don't blame this on me. I'm not the one who brought up Belviv DeVoe and the ViewMaster and the Great Depression.
What does Belviv DeVoe have to do with this?
Because he has no...
Don't die.
He has no idea who they are either.
You don't know who Belviv DeVoe is?
No, I've never heard Paulie's voice sound like that.
Like he's got a frog in his throat.
Yeah.
No, I know that poison. They tell you about what girls you should trust and which you shouldn't.
Yeah, that's all
I
never know. Trust a big butt and a smile, Jordan.
All right, and with that, we're going to take a timeout. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, we've got a couple minutes left here on a Friday edition of Orange Nation.
The show's gone completely off the rails.
It really has.
I apologize for this. I take full responsibility, but our listeners want to talk this. It's a Friday, summer. Let's enjoy it.
So Jack in Syracuse called one segment ago, wanted to know about the power washer that you raved about on the air, and I can attest to it worked great. Jack is called back. You want to fill him in, Paulie?
Jack, what do you got for us?
The only thing, I love listening to you guys. Listen every day. Everything you do is fantastic.
We know. Thank you.
Appreciate you saying that, Jack.
All right. And Paulie and all my kids are older than you are. So.
Oh, boy.
You talked about the typewriters. Yeah, we had those too, but ours were manual. So it goes back a long ways. But I appreciate the information on the power washer. My wife's driving me nuts to get the deck done. So
it works great. I was shocked, but I rolled the dice on it and spent the $20. It's even cheaper at Walmart. $15.
Oh, okay.
So go get it and use it and enjoy your weekend cleaning Enjoy Father's Day.
Yeah, I was going to say, just
deck.
How he wants to spend his Father's Day. Power washing the deck.
Yeah, that's probably what'll happen. No, I'll play golf first.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, thanks for the time and the information.
Anytime. All right, Jack. Thank you for listening.
Happy Father's Day to you. Enjoy the weekend.
And Steve, happy Father's Day to you.
Thanks.
Too. And I don't know what this is, but everybody said there was an audio clip that we need to play for you for Father's Day.
This is the first official day of practice for high schools across the state. The girls' soccer team was the first to hit the turf at CBA's Alibrandi Stadium this evening. The school has several safeguards in place. Players can't walk onto the field until their temperatures have been checked. Masks must remain on at all times. There's even social distancing taking place during drills. It's certainly different, but for the players, it beats the alternative.
We've been looking forward to this all year since our season ended last year, and we're just all thankful that we get another shot at a season. And even though we have to make sacrifices as a team, you know, like wearing the masks and everything, we're just thrilled and happy to be here.
Now, teams can begin playing games as early as October 2nd. And for the record, Christy, that wasn't Emma Infante, my daughter. That was Emma Infante, team co-captain, that we got to speak with tonight.
Oh, that puts a smile on my face.
So happy Father's Day, Steve.
Thank you.
You can thank Jordan. And
thanks, Jordan, for finding that. I had the pleasure of calling my son's first varsity goal a couple years back when he was in eighth grade. So that was special, and had a chance to get my daughter on the air as well. So,
and I think Jordan should wish me a happy. I wonder if you got me a Father's Day gift because I've taken him under my wing.
He wanted us to do a segment of top TV dads. So I don't know. I know we're running out of time, but if you had to pick, who's your favorite TV dad?
Homer Simpson, probably, but like Homer Simpson, Mike Brady. Like,
okay. Two respectable choices.
Yeah.
I don't know if Homer's a respectable choice, but I know where
he's
coming
from. He's a good dad. He's a good dad. He's always trying.
What about Danny Tanner? Full House.
Good one.
Some people have told me I look like Danny Tanner.
I could see that. I could see that.
Philip Banks, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, he's good too. Uncle Phil. Mr. Drummond from Different Strokes.
Okay.
Also.
We're dating ourselves with that reference.
Just took in two kids that he didn't have to. Made them millionaires. All right, my final thought, Steve.
Yes, please.
Going into this.
Final thought.
I learned a life hack on cooking ribs if you don't have a smoker.
Okay.
You got a nice charcoal grill that's big enough. Put all the charcoal on one side of the grill. Light it up, put your ribs on the upper rack on the opposite side. Works just like a smoker.
Creates the same effect.
Yeah, awesome. I had some great ribs.
Did someone teach you this life hack, or did you stumble upon it yourself?
I make fun of Pat in our Twitch chat for learning things off of YouTube. I caught it off of YouTube. So
speaking of Pat, he told me to try the Q44 ice cream. I had a chance to the other day. It was terrific. So.
So there you go. Pat's coming through.
All right. We got to run. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. We're back at it, noon on Monday. Enjoy the weekend.